And what's wrong with the Marxist lexicon? Does it fit with the totalitarian mindset of class? And perhaps another way of saying this is, does it quantify the human spirit? Does it take us and our brothers and sisters and render us up as factors of production, labor, workers? A single pattern of thought. Make use of, strip humans of their reverence, means, necessarily means. We are given the definitions, the lexicon, by which we try to understand our reality, the reality into which we're born, which has been shaped by the priorities of power. The most important of these priorities being that its rules seem natural, seem to spring from the natural order of things, to be unquestionable. As if a law of nature, established by forces greater than mere mortals. So when, as youth, we venture out into the world of refined, legitimated discourse and prepare our thought to compete in the marketplace of ideas, we scrutinize our logic. Does it gleam with the sheen of hard science? Perform well in scholarly discourse. Emerge confidently in neat packages, flatter its wearers with high status. Is it quantifiable? Is it measurable? Can you reduce it to abstractions? Will it sit in logic functions? Will it submit to massage and manipulation by other objectified minds like us? Can it be computerized? Our guys from MIT want to know. Handed the meanings, the rankings, the values at birth, born into the logic of rule, we obey by inclination, as Bentham schooled power instead of force, subjugated by words merely. None of us have the language to either describe our reality accurately or imagine its opposite for our future. But there have been many among us who have recognized that it is through language that rulers hold us in their sway and try to point the way out of the trap by developing language to express what power is determined we never see. This priority, capacity of those who've gone before, who were able to use words to help free their posterity, ancestors who wrote essentially for us in this very moment that we're living, the moment our Nicola wrote of, with the capacity of simultaneous speech across distance, expanses that in past epochs defeated the possibility of our unity becoming reality. Until now, and even now, the domination of that single pattern of thought called class meant that to see our way out of it, we needed those messengers from the past. We needed strong draughts of their refreshing minds to drink in Abel's mind through desert or the wilderness as bore it sealed wine to go elastic or as one the camel's trait attained. How powerful the stimulus of an hermetic mind. Number 711. Thank you, Sister Emily Dickinson. Hermes, son of Zeus and Maia, the messenger of the gods, the god of merchants, thieves, and oratory. And I suspect if thief he was a thief in the sense of Prometheus or Robin Hood, one who stole what had first been stole from us, a restorer of balance. He was portrayed as a herald equipped for traveling, identified with Thoth, regarded as the founder of alchemy and astrology. Thoth, Egyptian mythology, a moon god, the god of wisdom, justice, and writing. Patron of the sciences, messenger of Ra. Hermetic, insulated or protected from outside influences, cryptic. Remember, what youth need is that sacred silence, that sacred seclusion, that ability. This is what she's writing about. It's not by accident that these messengers that fly across the centuries or the decades are inventors of language, new language, as they certainly couldn't speak to our freedom by using the language of power. In our examination of Does Capitalism Have a Future, we'll ask whether the language of scholarship, of academia, could possibly provide the language, the openness of thought that we need to envision, let alone establish, a future premised on reverence.